agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
Feel so good.
You do feel hot. DayQuil Kids will take care of that fever.
What about my cough?
DayQuil Kids has that covered.
Will it make my throat feel better?
Yes, that too.
But will it taste good?
Yep, DayQuil Kids comes in your favorite flavor.
Purple?
Well, yes, it's grape.
Try new DayQuil Kids Plus Fever, the daytime coughing, aching, sore throat fever just for kids medicine. Safe for kids 6 plus. Use as directed.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kamala Harris talking about her plans to get more support from black men on her way to another campaign stop in the all-important swing state of Pennsylvania. She talked about it.
I don't assume to have the vote of any demographic locked down. I have to earn their vote, and I'm going to work as I've been to earn that vote and to win on November 5th.
Donald Trump at a Fox town hall with only women in the audience applauding the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade.
It's back in the states where they can have the vote of the people. It's exactly where they want to be.
That event, Trump also called himself the father of IVF. The search goes on around Mount Rainier in Washington State after a Navy fighter jet on a training mission crashed with two crew members on board. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's not interested in a unilateral ceasefire in Lebanon. He rejected that idea in a call with the French president today. This is ABC News. The Secret Service has released a guide for state and local law enforcement to prevent targeted violence. This comes after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. Some disappointing news for drivers.
For months, gas prices have been mostly inching down, but in the past week, they've bumped back up about 4 cents a gallon, analysts say, because of back-to-back storms, Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, and the prices should level back out, barring any more storms. The Energy Department reports in the past week, the average price of regular unleaded rose to $3.17 a gallon, still, though, 41 cents a gallon less than at this time last year. Alex Stone, EBC News.
It's being called the Lamborghini of spacesuits. Axiom Space has teamed up with Prada, the renowned fashion company, and today they unveiled their NASA spacesuits. It's the spacesuit NASA astronauts will wear when they walk on the moon during the Artemis mission that comes up in 2026. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayla. Barack Obama will be in Madison next week.
The former two-term Democratic president will be here on Tuesday, joined by Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Their joint appearance timed to coincide with the first day of in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin, just 2 weeks out from Election Day. The Harris-Walz ticket is counting on strong Democratic turnout in Madison and Dane County, as well as in Milwaukee, where the vice president has a campaign event scheduled for this this Thursday in Madison, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Attorney General Josh Call is issuing a reminder that threatening poll workers is illegal.
Call says it's essential to protect the right to vote, and the Wisconsin Department of Justice is committed to making sure the state has a safe and secure election. Wisconsin law prohibits anyone from using or threatening force to compel someone to vote, keep them from voting, or to influence their voting decision. State law also prohibits anyone from using duress or fraud to impede or prevent someone from voting. Call says threatening behavior towards election officials is also a crime. If you witness or are subjected to election intimidation or threats, alert an election official and call local law enforcement. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
At least six Wisconsin farms are giving away thousands of chickens after Iowa-based processor Pure Prairie Poultry abruptly closed last week. Wisconsin Agriculture Secretary Randy Romanski says it's been challenging to find out how many Wisconsin farmers have been impacted.
We've asked for some really specific information from the company about how many growers, how best to contact them so we can get them in touch with the Farm Center. And so far, we haven't gotten complete information about that.
Farmers who need assistance can contact the Wisconsin Farm Center at 800-942-2474.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're warming things up today under sunny skies and calm south winds. High temperatures will soar to the low 60s. With not a cloud in the sky tonight, temperatures will dip to the mid-30s. Then tomorrow, we get shoved nice and warm into the upper 60s. But those winds get feisty. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, it's 54.
The grain markets were mixed, with the soy complex mostly lower, wheat higher, and corn supported by a round of export demand. Livestock futures were also mixed, with the cattle complex mostly lower and lean hog sharply higher. And cotton futures bounced off support to end with a solid gain.
Live from the lookout high atop Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Darren Hudson from the International Center of Agricultural Competitiveness at Texas Tech. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk, the PM version of AgriTalk, where we talk markets. And today... we're going to be talking cotton market, okay?
International Center of Agricultural Competitiveness at Texas Technical University.
Darren's Twitter handle is Competitive Ag.
That's easier to say. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I will admit, many, many years ago already, when I was looking for someone to talk about cotton and what's going on in the cotton market, and I saw that Twitter handle at Competitive Ag, I'm like, I got to get this guy on. This will be great. So we've had Darren on the show basically since the beginning of market rally, and here we are.
Well, it's a good thing too, because no one knows where he came from or where he went. No one's seen Cotton Eye Joe. You can't count on that guy. You got to get somebody else, and here we are.
No, that's right. That's right. The thing about the conversation with Darren is, we're going to use the supply and demand balance sheet for cotton as kind of a guide. Okay. But it's going to get us into talking about economic conditions here in the U.S. It'll get us talking about economic conditions in China. It's the gateway to a lot of conversations that matter big time to the ag commodities. So looking forward to the conversation with Darren. All right. How you doing? Everything good?
I think everything's really, really good. Yeah.
Wow.
We're like mid-70s, lovely sunshine outside. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Things are good. How about you?
That's awesome. Yeah. I had to open up the door. We're only 60 degrees here outside the bunker, but but that's warm enough to open up the door for me. All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
The Missouri wheat futures worked with corn to trade higher for much of the session. Price gains were limited by the weather forecast for Russia's winter wheat areas, where beneficial rains are expected in the next 10 days to encourage late-year seedings. Price support came from a slightly lower-than-average seedings pace for the U.S. winter wheat crop, and from word that French wheat supplies outside of the European Union will be off by about 60% from a year ago. Yeah. December soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, dropped through support at 580 and at yesterday's low, and then prices recovered to close near session highs. December HRW wheat futures 5¾ higher at 588¾. December SRW wheat up 5½ cents to 585. Not quite settled yet on my screen here. December spring wheat 620½. Last report, that's up 4¼ on the day.
Right. SRW wheat trading around that 580 level again, it to me, it's very important. We need to stay above that 580 level if we're going to have any hopes of working this market higher. If we close below 580 even once this week, it's going to concern me just what the downside risk might be.
Well, chip corn prices were boosted by a dose of export news. USDA this morning reported the sale of 1.6 million metric tons of U.S. corn to Mexico. Of that tally, 1.04 is for delivery in the current marketing year and nearly 580,000 tons for delivery in the 25-26 marketing year. USDA also reported the sale of 332,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. Despite that demand news, December corn futures posted an inside trading day with a session low open and a high range close. December corn futures 3½ cents higher at 404¾. March corn up 3 cents, 420½. July corn futures closed at 434, up 2½ cents. Some excellent demand news there, Chip.
Yeah, almost 2 million tons of corn demand in there, and all we could get out of it was the 3½ cent higher close. Mm. Now, if we were trading at 420, and we were 3½ cents higher, okay, I could get that. But we're down at the $4 level. We get 2 million tons of demand, and most of we can get out of it, all we can get out of it, is 3½ cents to the upside. That's disappointing.
Well, Chip, USDA this morning also announced the sale of 175,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. Soybean harvest was also two-thirds complete as of October 13, and that's well ahead of the five-year average pace. Traders generally agree that enough of the bean crop has been harvested that harvest hedge pressure will lighten from this point forward. Soybean oil reversed yesterday's price gains to pull bean prices lower, and bean meal prices saw just a limited recovery from yesterday's price pressure. November beans closed lower for a fifth consecutive session today and posted a downside reversal with a close near session lows. November beans 11 cents lower, 980. Jan beans down 9½ cents, 994. March contract 10.07¾ on the close, down 9 cents on the day, Chip.
Yeah, on the day, December soybean meal up $1.90, December bean oil down 77 points. So there's that relationship again.
December cotton is attempting to build a floor of support near 70.60 and today bounced solidly from that level. December cotton today 64 points higher, 71.26. Chip, a little bird told me that we got Bubba.
All right, let's get him in here. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
You guys worry too much. We got this inflation trade going on right now. You watch. You're going to have an orange juice, one over $5. We're going to get a nice big rally coming here. This inflation is going crazy. Interest rates are up every day. Prices are going to have to rise. I mean, the only thing that's going down is cattle.
Well, I was going to go to the cattle market and say, there you go, Bubba. We're starting to see some pressure on cattle with hogs going to the upside. That trade is working for you.
Yes, it is. But again, I think that we're going to see higher prices. Right now, Chip and Davis, the markets are so slow. There's nothing going on. I guess everybody's now waiting for the election. We're always waiting for something, but we can't seem to get any real price action. But if you look around the rest of the commodity space, gold, coffee, orange juice, they're all going higher. And I think the grains are going to follow along.
Okay. All right. You know, yeah, you can. There have been times in the past where that quote-unquote inflation trade has kind of been forced into the grain markets. And with the fundamentals in that orange juice market after Hurricane Milton, yeah, I can understand why we should maybe anticipate some of that. But how much of it can you expect in this market, Bubba?
I think a lot's going to depend on the equities. And if the equities start to give way, which they have not, they're still up near their highs, then it's going to be hard to find new money to come in. But I think that they're going to stress a little bit. And I do think the overall inflation trade, and remember, the orange juice that you talked about, that crop comes from Brazil. It doesn't even come from Florida, yeah, wherever he's worried about. So, but again, you got prices higher, and that's all that counts. And I think it's going to be a big fourth quarter for grain farmers and producers.
Yep, yep. Excellent point there about the OJ. As soon as I said it, it popped into my head. So, good job. Good job. All right, Bubba.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
Talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Coming up next, we've got Darren Hudson from Texas Tech talking cotton on AgriTalk.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We're going to talk cotton today, and along the way, I'm sure that we'll have plenty of economic discussions, trade issues, policy issues. We can get into it all with Darren Hudson. Darren is the Comvest Endowed Chair and the director of the International Center for Agricultural Competitiveness at Texas Tech University. Darren, how's it going, man? It's good to talk to you again.
It's going great, Chip. Glad to be here. Glad to be on.
All right. I think we might as well get this out of the way right now. Okay. 6-0 Texas Tech. Is that right?
No, 5-1. Yeah.
Oh, 5-1.
Yeah.
But undefeated in the Big 12?
Yes. Undefeated in the Big 12. Yes.
Right.
But we still got the meat of the schedule. We got you guys coming up. So, you know, that's always a tough one.
Well, I hope it's going to be a tough one is what I'm hoping, but it is quite the race that we've got going on. It's not the race that everybody thought it was going to be at the start of the year, especially the Utah fans, but
that's okay. We'll take it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, Darren, let's hop into this. I just want to start with your overall impression of what is happening in the cotton market. Why are we doing what we're doing?
Well, I mean, I think that there's sort of two things going on. One is on the production side, you know, Brazil's got a pretty good crop. That's, you know, out there on the market right now. So there's a lot of pressure from, you know, a pretty sizable crop that Brazil has. We're a little better, you know, a couple million bales better than last year, but, you know, still not a great crop here. But, you know, it is what it is. But on the flip side of that, there's just like virtually no demand. Mill use has just been flat, and it's been flat for about 5 years. So really no growth in cotton use globally. So the offtake just isn't really helping out with Brazil, you know, increasing its production.
Yeah. Brazil's up, if I remember correctly, like 2 million bales year on year. Is that right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. But our global carryover situation in cotton, what is that doing to us? 76.33 million bales expected at the end of the current marketing year. That would be up just a bit from 75.2 a year ago.
Right. And, you know, we've got some additional stocks. I think, you know, when you look at it globally, you know, we're up a couple million bales. Brazil's up a couple million bales, you know, and so places around the world are adding a bit to the, you know, the supply demand situation. But the reality is the offtake on that side is just not, you know, it's not robust. So whatever additional bales kind of get put out on the market have to go somewhere, and they go into lower price and into stocks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, every time that we talk about cotton, Darren, it seems like, well, you know what? Yeah. The supply matters, but the real factor driving prices is coming from the demand side of the balance sheet. That's accurate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's you know, we've been in a, you know, we were in a phase in the past where you know, production was down, you know, globally issues, and we sort of couldn't keep up, and so, you know, prices were good, they were solid, but you know, the last, you know, since really probably just pre-COVID to today, there's just been no growth, you know. Now world fiber use is growing, right? So, but all that is being taken up by synthetics, and we're down to around about 23% of global fiber share is cotton. And so that demand side is really, you know, the weakening on that demand relative to polyester has just sort of eaten the sack lunch out of the cotton market. And, you know, there's no, you know, good sign that is going to recover. Right. You know, I think the interesting thing, like if you look at world fiber use, and we're at 23%, if we were to return to say even just 25% of the global fiber market, it wouldn't matter what Brazil does. I mean, that's an additional 10 to 12 million bales of demand. And, you know, it would outstrip whatever we could produce at this point, and prices would have to recover substantially just to attract the acres back into production.
Yeah. So what's behind this trend to the synthetics? Is it price? Is it quality of the synthetics? What's driving that?
I think it's a little of both. You know, synthetics are very consistent and easy in a manufacturing process, very predictable. They're not as high quality, obviously. The quality of the cotton, you know, apparel is much better. But what happens is that you hit those pricing points, is what I call them, right? And so to hit a $40 shirt, you've got to up that polyester because it's so much cheaper in order to keep it at that pricing point in a store. And, you know, so manufacturers and retailers have basically gone to higher synthetic blends or even 100% synthetic, you know, to get at that. And, you know, you walk on the Iowa State campus and I guarantee you 95% of the girls on that campus are wearing Lululemon, you know, stretch pants. Yeah. And so, you know, that the age demographic is sort of moved away from the blue jeans and things like that. You know, and if they returned, it would significantly increase demand. But yeah, I think it's a demand side, you know, from that price point issue is what drives, I think, a lot of retail decisions. They don't want to move into a $70 or $80 t-shirt, you know, for a Walmart mass market or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Is there a cycle to it, Darren? I mean, can we anticipate that the popularity of cotton is going to come back?
Well, you know, I hope so. There is a bit of a cyclical nature to it. You know, fashion comes and goes. You know, I think one of the challenges that cotton has faced is the ease of care kind of issues. You know, you throw that polyester shirt in the washing machine, the dryer, and you pull it out. You don't have to worry about it. I think there's been, you know, a lot of technological advances that have made cotton a little more, you know, sustainable in that realm. But, yeah. You know, I think the other side of this that really both the industry and others don't seem to hit is this whole microplastics world, you know, of what's happening to microplastic contamination and water streams and makes it into food supplies and everything else. Well, that comes from, you know, polyester shirts. I mean, that's one of the main sources of that. So, I think there's going to be some sort of pushback, especially in that younger generation, as they get more aware of what the environmental impact of those polyester clothes are. But, you know, we're just not there yet. And hopefully we're going to turn that corner pretty soon.
Okay. All right. So, the cost of that shirt, that cotton shirt, I mean, and what we do, talk to me about the life cycle of a cotton crop here in the United States. How does it go from being a cotton crop to a t-shirt in my drawer?
Well, so, you know, we export about 85% of our cotton. So most of that cotton that's harvested in the U.S. ends up on a ship in a bale and typically the Far East, you know, Bangladesh, Vietnam, China. Those are spun, manufactured into clothing, you know, apparel items and shipped back to the U.S. And, you know, so there's a lot of blending that goes on, you know, U.S. cotton with other growths in those places. So there's price competition that exists across, you know, the growth space. So Brazil versus the U.S. versus Australia. But then there's also that competition in the fiber space of when we're talking about, you know, man-made synthetics and blends. Mm-hmm. So that comes back in. And you know, the importers who are bringing those products in, you know, they're importing product. They don't much care about what content is. They just want to sell it to the Gap or whoever. And so, you know, I think there's a bit of a disjoint in the industry between, you know, the production sector and then the import sector in terms of what they're bringing in. But, you know, that's generally how that happens. But it is a window. I think the interesting thing that people forget about cotton versus corn or others is that cotton's a semi-durable good. So you don't have to buy that pair of blue jeans this year or this 6 months if you don't want to.
Right.
And so it's more sensitive. You know, the previous guest was talking about the inflation issues.
Yeah.
The apparel tends to be a bit more sensitive to that. We've seen that, you know, in the last bout of inflation, you know, apparel consumption has really, you know, leveled off. So right. I think there's a number of those kind of economic factors that drive it from, when it leaves the field to when it gets back to your drawer.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That was an important piece of the conversation to have here. I do want to talk more about the impact of the U.S. economy on that cotton demand. And then how about this? Can we put a big enough tariff on cotton products coming in from Asia to bring manufacturing back?
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 5 3/4 higher at 5.88 3/4. December SRW wheat up 5 1/2 cents to 5.85.